Hey there, I'm Catalina Villegas. I'm the host of Rolly's Experts Explain Everything podcast. Rolly is the platform where journalists find experts for their stories. As a journalist myself, I love to find fascinating thought leaders on Rolly and learn all about their field of expertise. Today, we have a very special guest. Former Congresswoman Ileana Ross-Leitanen, first elected to the House in 1989, she was the first Cuban-American elected to Congress and one of the first Latinas elected to the House of Representatives. She joins us during Hispanic Heritage Month. Thank you so much for your time, Congresswoman.
No, Catalina, thank you so much. It is a real pleasure to be on your podcast, and I love the name of it. And I love the concept behind it. It's just brilliant. So thank you very, very much for this wonderful invitation. And happy Hispanic Heritage Month to those who celebrate.
Congresswoman, you served almost 30 years in the House of Representatives. As you reflect back on your time there, what stands out the most?
Well, Catalina, I was in Congress longer than you've been alive because you are a very young lady, and I congratulate you. It is wonderful for me as an older person, a senior citizen, when I see this amazing new crop, the new generation of Latinas who are leaving their mark on the world, whether it's in science and engineering and the arts and in journalism. I mean, you name it. And we are there. And I'm so glad that soon we will maybe have a Latino museum. So we will highlight all the Catalinas who are doing such a wonderful job in their profession. But when I was in Congress, when I was first elected in 1989, it was the August of 89, things were so different then. I'm not saying that, in the old days, everything was great, but we treated each other with a little more respect. We did not think of the person from the other party as being a terrible individual. He was just somebody who is from a different party. I don't like the toxic environment in Congress right now because I'm a very bipartisan member of Congress for all those years. I'm a Republican, but when I got to Congress, Catalina, there were very few Republicans. So it took somebody like Newt Gingrich to really change the way that we were thinking and to think that we could be a majority party. And I like being a majority party. However, I don't like being a toxic majority party. I don't like Democrats or Republicans who say nasty things about a member of the other party. So I miss Congress a little bit, but I don't miss because I serve with wonderful people like John Lewis, who marched with Martin Luther King, and Sam Johnson, who was a POW in Vietnam. Just really great people. But I find that right now, people are just too nasty with each other, and I like to treat people with respect. Whatever your background is, whatever your thoughts are, if you give me respect, I will give you respect, and I don't think that people are cutting themselves much of a break these days. So in that respect, I'm an old lady who looks back fondly upon the good old days. And I wish that we would be nicer to one another.
Speaking of the good old days, tell us about how you got into Congress initially. How did that all happen?
Well, I'm pretty surprised myself, Catalina, because I was a teacher. I was very proud to be a Florida certified teacher. That's what I always wanted to be. And with my parents, with the rest of my family, I ran and was the principal of a private bilingual elementary school in Hialeah, which is a working class neighborhood of Miami-Dade. And I said, this is the epitome. I've reached my dream. I framed my teaching certificate and I helped the parents of my school who were very limited in their English proficiency. They were very poor. And so I would help them in translating documents and helping them in any way that I could. Oh, hey, this is an immigration paper. You've got to fill that out. You don't want to get deported. And this is a housing document. You want to fill that out. You don't want to get evicted. So people saw me helping Catalina's parents and grandparents, y tus abuelos y bisabuelos. And they said, you know, rather than just helping Catalina's abuelos and bisabuelos, you could make policy so that they would not have these problems. And I said, what are you talking? What is making policy? And that's when I found out about politics and running for office. So I first ran for the state house, and I knocked on a lot of doors. It was a very grassroots campaign. That was in 1982, not 1882, but 1982. And then I met my husband there. So a lot of good things can happen in politics. And we ran for re-election in 1984. Then we ran for the state Senate in 1986. He went off to be U.S. Attorney for South Florida. And then a long-term member of Congress, whose name is Claude Pepper. You would not know him, but the oldies, whoever would listen to your podcast or is maybe a guru on politics would know him. Claude Pepper was a wonderful man who helped so many people, and he passed away in his 90s. And many generations, Catalina, of leaders had come and gone waiting like vultures around poor Claude Pepper, waiting for him to retire or pass away. And I was not supposed to win. But in August of 1989, with 7 Republicans and 7 Democrats, I can't believe that I won. But it's because we did a grassroots campaign and we focused on the issues that people cared about. Education and having a good environment and having crime away from our Latino communities, et cetera. So we worked hard and I was rewarded, but I never would have thought that I would have been a member of Congress. If you had asked me, you know, as young as you are, hey, do you see a political future for you? You know, I would say no, that was not that. So you never say no. And you never know what God has in store for you. And I ended up making quite a career out of it because first elected in 82 and then retired in I don't even know. I've just been out about 5 years. But I loved it. You get to help so many people, Catalina. You help them with Social Security and veterans benefits. And it's a joy. And I think more people should run for office, not for the glory or the ego, but in order to help people. You can do a lot of good by serving in elective office.
And speaking of that, if someone doesn't really know or understand how that process works, how would you explain that? What kind of filing deadlines? Where do you find that information? How do you apply even?
Excellent, excellent question. And Catalina, the important thing to know is that all elections are local or they're run by the state. Very few elections are federal in terms of, you know, maybe the presidency. But even the presidency, when you consider you have a race in Iowa, you have a race in South Carolina, you have a race in New Hampshire. And then the final one is, of course, a national race where everyone votes at the same time, more or less. But it's still governed by the Electoral College. So not even then do we really have a national election. So find out from your county supervisor or your local elected official who runs elections. Hey, I want to run for judge. I just went last week, Catalina, to a young lady who I met first when she was a junior in high school. She went to my high school, Miami Southwest High School, a public school here in Miami. And she met me and she said, hey, I think that I want to be involved in public service. And I said, well, come as a volunteer, be an intern in our office. And she did. And from an intern, she became a staffer. From a staffer, she went on to Brown University. And she graduated. She went to law school. And just last week, I went to her swearing in as judge. And I'm very proud of her.
That's
and
amazing.
To think that Yarita, I just met her when she was just a high school junior, and now she's a judge in our county courts. So anybody can make your dreams come true, and find out. She was appointed by the governor, but she'll have an election coming up in November of next year. So if you're interested in helping people, think about a career or maybe just a little time in public service. Find out when the filing deadlines are, what papers you need to fill out. And then, Catalina, I would say do a lot of grassroots support. I know a lot of people talk about the influence of money in politics. But I find, Catalina, that if you know your district, you are from Los Angeles, I'm from Miami. I bet you know your district, your area pretty well, and I think I know Miami pretty well. And if you're in touch with people and they see you as someone who's honest and hardworking, you can get elected. You don't have to come from a rich family. I did not come from a rich family. I went to community college and I went to state college. And so you don't need money. You don't need influence. What you need is a pure heart, a servant's heart, and you want to help the community. Those are the people who should run for office.
And maybe some guts too. It takes guts.
Yes. If you wait for the right moment, Catalina, let me tell you, I was one of the ones. My family was encouraging me to run, Catalina, and I said, you know, I think I need more time. I need 6 months because if I'm going to run for Congress, I need to study the world and I need to know everything that's going on. And they said, no, don't wait for that right time. There's never a perfect time. There's never a perfect time to get married, to have a baby, to get this job. It's not going to happen. Just go for it.
Speaking of the world, you actually went on to chair the Foreign Affairs Committee. Tell us, what were your goals when you took on that really important role?
Well, that really was, it was an awesome, awesome responsibility. And I got elected by my peers over some more experienced members who had been there and serving on the committee far longer than I had. But they saw in me someone who had a great affinity and love and admiration for the United States of America, because I was born in Cuba. Spanish is my native language. Came over to the United States when I was only 8 years old with my parents. And my parents were real role models for me, Catalina, because they sacrificed everything they had to come over to live in the land of freedom. And so for me, fighting for freedom and human rights, that became the most important thing for me. And so it was a natural for me to be in the Foreign Affairs Committee. So all the 30 years almost that I served in Congress, all those years I was in the Foreign Affairs Committee. And it was a real privilege to work with my colleagues. But being a chairman is different than just doing your own thing. Right here, you're doing your own thing as with this podcast. But when you're a journalist in an LA TV station, you're part of a crew. So being a chairman means you have to look out for all the members of your committee. So it's a different set of leadership skills. But I enjoyed it. And Congress is a collegial body, even though nobody's getting along these days. But I think that they will one day. And you get to, my gosh, when I look at that Capitol lit up, Catalina, I cannot believe it. I had to pinch myself thinking, am I really here? Am I a member of Congress and I get to live here and I get to work here after living in a communist country for all those years? So it's a thrill. Be proud of your roots, be proud of your language and your customs and traditions, and embrace this wonderful country that we call home.
Oh, you know, I definitely feel so incredibly blessed being an immigrant myself.
So where are you from?
I'm from Colombia, and I came here on political asylum. And so for me, I also feel incredibly blessed to be part of this country and, you know, to be able to call this place home. I mean, it's an absolute godsend.
Isn't it amazing, Catalina? I mean, when we're both immigrants coming from different countries, but I think we have a real special appreciation for the promise of America. And Colombia is such a strong ally of the United States of America. And here in Miami, we have a vibrant Colombian-American community, yeah, and Venezuelan community and Cuban-American community and Nicaraguan community. I also live and work in Washington, D.C., and there we have more Salvadorans. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm thinking of Latin America. We have in Florida, we have a lot of Puerto Ricans, and of course, they're not a foreign country. They're Americans, but they're in Orlando. I wish that we had more Puerto Ricans down here, but we have such an array of Hispanic Americans and Latinos in the United States of America, the fastest growing minority, and the economic power that we have is amazing, but we've got to help all Latinos. Not everybody has a good job. Not everybody's going to a good school, so we need to help. We need to lift all boats. We need to help everyone.
Absolutely. That's why the work that our Congress does is so incredibly important.
Yeah, we have to be very conscious of the fact that Democrats and Republicans have to work together to get immigration reform, for example, to help the Dreamers. How many years have we been saying we're going to help the Dreamers and we still haven't been able to do it? So there's a lot that we can do. We have to work in a bipartisan manner.
And speaking of bipartisanship, a lot of these committees do have members of both sides of the aisle. Talk to me about how these committees are formed, how there's this election process, and how does, for example, a standing committee differ from a joint committee, different from a select committee, and even a caucus, right? There's so many different words that we hear when we're talking about Congress that might be really confusing to the average person.
Yeah, that is so correct, Catalina. And what I always tell people is that don't get hung up on all of these terms. Yes, you have select committees. For example, there was a committee to investigate the January 6th insurrection. There's a special committee. There's certain committees that only the speaker can appoint you to. I was lucky enough to be in three of those committees. I was appointed by different speakers to be on the budget committee. And then I got selected to be on the rules committee. And then I got selected to be on the intelligence committee. And that was so fascinating. I could tell you about it, but I'd have to kill you. No. But it really was wonderful to be on the intelligence committee. That and foreign affairs were my favorite committees. So those are speaker committees. Those are select committees. But and then you're right. There's caucuses. For example, there's a caucus on. There's a Colombia, a U.S. Colombia caucus, very popular. There's a Puerto Rico caucus. There are all kinds of caucuses, and those are not formal, and they don't pass legislation. The other committees are committees that pass legislation and bills, proposed bills, and they have votes. So caucuses are more informal, and they're really to celebrate different heritages or because people want to highlight certain issues, like, for example, U.S.-UK relations, something like that. So you could have a caucus on that. But in committees, a lot of people try to be on the money committees, meaning appropriations committees, ways and means, energy and commerce. But I've always found that the more interesting committees would be the ones that are of interest to your district. In L.A., you guys are one big parking lot. I don't know if you call it transportation, but if I were from L.A., I would like to be on the transportation committee because that's very important. You talk about the 405 and you get off at whatever, everybody's talking transportation in Los Angeles. So maybe if you're New York, housing committee, the housing committee would be very important, and education committee. So it doesn't have to be big money committees. Do something that you like, something that your community wants you to do. And I think that you would find great satisfaction in doing that because Catalina, it's all about public service. Why are you there as a member of Congress? Because you want to help your community. So what can you do to help your community? be in those committees and try to come up with bipartisan solutions, whether it's climate, transportation, you name it. There's so many different problems that we have here. In Florida, we have a lot of hurricanes, so disaster preparedness. In LA, you have a lot of flooding and drought at the same time and the same state. So find out what interests you and just do a very good job there in those committees. Committee work is very important. People pay attention to what happens in the chamber, but it's really committee work that's important.
In fact, and you touched upon this briefly, the Ways and Means and Rules Committees, some of the most important. Can you just explain to our audience why those two committees are so pivotal?
Well, you know a lot about social studies, I can tell, because who else would ask a very intelligent question like that? Well, the Rules Committee is very important because that's the committee that determines which bills get sent to the floor, and they determine the rules governing the debate on that bill. For example, we would have a bill on transportation, and they would decide, okay, we're going to allocate 10 hours of debate equally divided, 5 hours for Republicans, 5 hours for Democrats, and we will allow 10 amendments per side. So they determine which bills get on the floor, how much time will be devoted to them, and how many amendments will be ruled in order. And then it's up to the 435 members of Congress to decide. That's the great thing about democracy. It's whoever has the most votes, they're the ones who win. And I think that's exciting to live in a democracy where you don't know what's going to happen the day after tomorrow. You don't even know what's going to happen today. That's exciting. And Ways and Means is an old-fashioned phrase, but Ways and Means, boy, they were around when our republic was founded, and they're the ones who determine more or less the tax policies of the United States of America. So you can imagine how important it is to be on that committee. What gets taxed, what doesn't get taxed. And it's not just, are we going to tax our phones? It's, streaming platforms. It's, I just have things here on my desk, hand lotion, you name it. And they're the ones that determine what taxes on cars and how much something is going to cost because of the taxes. So very important committees. Every committee will do something very important. Education and workforce, wow, they determine the kind of schools that get it, that what accrediting agency will accredit certain schools, what should be taught, what shouldn't be taught. So everything that touches your life is touched by Congress. So when people ask me, why should I care about Congress? I don't want to pay attention to those fools. And I said, well, those fools determine how much you're going to pay for orange juice, how much it's going to cost you, who's going to be able to get a job. And they determine every facet of your life. So get involved at the local government, state government, and federal government, because they have a lot to do with how your life is run.
And this is a perfect segue from my last question on this. But speaking of lives touched and the impact, what is the impact and the achievement you're most proud of during your time in Congress? And how did that impact you as well as a human and as a person?
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Well, Catalina, I would say that the most important thing that I was able to do was not, meeting with a prince or a king or a president, and it wasn't doing this or doing that. It was helping my constituents. Constituent service for me was like being a teacher. We started out our conversation talking about how meaningful it was for me to be a teacher, and that's what I thought of when I was a member of Congress. I passed many bills. I passed a lot of laws. But nothing gave me greater satisfaction than helping somebody to become a citizen, than helping somebody find housing, helping somebody get a transit point from A to B, and to helping that new immigrant get acclimated to their new home, the United States of America. So for me, it was always about serving the public and constituent service. That gave me the best satisfaction.
Congresswoman, thank you so very much for your time.
Catalina, thanks to you for being this new generation of Latina empowerment. And you make me very proud of the work that came before me. And you're standing on the shoulders of many, many, many Latina leaders that made your life possible and made my life possible as well.
And thank you for being that person, right, that I get to, as you say, stand on their shoulders.
Muchas gracias. Thank you.
You can find hundreds of other exceptional experts by visiting roleyapp.com. I'm Catalina Villegas, and you can always connect with me on social media, on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. Until next time.